Scripture reading this morning comes to us from Psalm 90. Psalm 90, we'll read the whole psalm and our focus will be on verse 14. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withered. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants, and satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Our text is verse 14. O, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Congregation, I don't know how long ago it has been since there was a funeral in the congregation. We just had one in our congregation this past week. And you may recall that when a funeral takes place, it does strike us again how life is so frail and it flies away. You can well imagine that Moses at this particular time of his life, and very likely this psalm was composed toward the end of his life, maybe even while they were near Mount Nebo, and he knows that as he is near Mount Nebo that the Lord's going to take him soon. He's not going to enter the promised land himself, but the Lord is going to take him rather directly to the heavenly promised land. And he's looking back on the 40 years that they have been wandering through the wilderness, and that everyone who was 21 and over, other than Joshua and Caleb and himself, he is 120 years old, but the rest of them, they've died in the wilderness, and there's probably just a handful of people who are any more over than 60, 61. Think of that. Like almost two generations just passed away in the wilderness, and here he is. He's about to be taken away, and they're standing on the threshold of the promised land to go in. Can you imagine the kind of concerns that are on the mind of Moses as they're about to go in? Have they learned? Have they really learned the lesson? that we are to live by faith. And that's a concern of his. And so Moses composes this psalm, and much of it reflects on time and the shortness of life and how frail life is, like the grass of the field. And then he comes to this point in our text, and it seems to be something that comes with passion. It starts with that, oh, like this is something so urgent, so important. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. So let's meditate on this under the theme, seeking the Lord's mercy early, an urgent necessity, a satisfying mercy, and thirdly, a joyful fruit. An urgent necessity, a satisfying mercy, and a joyful fruit. Urgent. What is urgent? Sometimes in time management courses you hear about this phrase, the tyranny of the urgent. You know, whatever's really necessary to happen, it just is on your mind. That's got to be done. Why is it so urgent what Moses here is talking about? An urgent necessity. The petition or intercession on behalf of the people, he is saying, satisfy us. He's quite old already, 120 years old. And yet he includes himself, us. Still, it's a lifelong thing that, but especially early in life, it's so necessary. And so he's like a mediator of the Old Testament covenant. He's pleading on behalf of the people mostly, and he's pleading especially on behalf of the young in the congregation. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. Just a word about the word early. The word early seems to imply, if in the Hebrew, that there has been a dark night past. Something dark. Think of even the whole wilderness journey. That's a dark experience if you think of so many people dying in the wilderness. And now, early has the idea, first thing in the morning, after the darkness is past, you could say, we've had this whole COVID thing, and what a dark chapter in our life as a world, as a nation, as a province, or as church, maybe as family, something very sad has happened. After that dark period, how urgent it is now as we anticipate a new stage in our life, just like you anticipate a day early in the morning. First things first. And so there's that impression here. And notice also that Moses is saying, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So the counting of the days is part of this early. It's saying we don't know how many days we have, so teach us early. And there's a comparison in verse 5 also, thou carriest them away with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up, and in the morning it flourishes, and then the evening it's cut down. So our life is compared to that morning cut of the grass. And how urgent then? How urgent before we are cut down? So there's that idea, and you come into another aspect here as he says, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. So there's that comparison of the rest of our life, all the days, to the first part of our life. And so I say all that because I believe that the particular word used as early has reference to early in life. So if you're young, perk up your ears, because this is especially a message for the children, the young people, and for those early in their life. That exciting period when you're just starting up all those ambitious purposes in life. Let me illustrate with a number of points the idea of urgent. Satisfy us early with thy mercy. This is such an urgent matter. Why? Why is it so urgent? Well, first of all, because experiencing the saving mercy of God is the most important thing that could happen in your life. If you're taking a time management course, then you'll get this principle, first things first. In order of priority, do the most important thing first. You remember that Mary and Martha were entertaining Jesus, and they're hosting Jesus and the disciples, rather. And then in that time, Mary was listening to Jesus at his feet. And Martha was fussing about in the kitchen with all kinds of things. And the ladies can identify. If you have a very special guest in the home, you want to make sure everything's right. The table's set right, the dinner's cooking just right, and everything like that. But she wasn't there in the teaching time of Jesus' visit. And Jesus says, Mary, you're cumbered about many things. You're fussing about so many other things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that. By the way, we need to also remember, Mary got it. Because in John 11, we read, she came out with such a wonderful confession concerning the resurrection and her faith in Jesus. So she did learn the lesson. Have we learned the lesson about what's the most important thing in life? Have you learned the lesson? And have you made that the morning priority to pray for? To experience the mercies of the Lord in a saving way. Young people, what's the most urgent thing in your life?
Well, maybe young man, you're thinking, when I become 16, my license, that's number one for me. Maybe when you become 16, you get your license, then
saving up for that first car. That's urgent for me.
Then you got that nice car, and you got eyes on these ladies, you know, these young ladies, and you think, I want to get myself a good girlfriend. And then you're talking about a job, and then so many things can seem to be urgent in your life. That's what we call the tyranny of the urgent. It just seems to compose all of your life. It seems to grab hold of you, and it just controlling you.
But what about saving faith? What about experiencing the mercy? Moses, who has lived many years and he's seen many things and he's learned many lessons in his life, he is talking to young people and he's talking to this new generation. This generation that's going to go into the land of Canaan and make that conquest of the land. And he is praying, Lord, satisfy them all early in their life with thy mercy. And this is what we would want to press upon your conscience, young people, young men and ladies, newly married couples, early in your life. Experience the mercy of the Lord. Make that your number one pleading petition.
Secondly, because life is so short and death is so certain.
Life is short.
You talk to older people and they'll tell you, it just flies by so fast. 20 years? 40 years? Life is so frail and short. It's And Moses talks about that, how it flies away, like the morning grass just withers. In Hebrews 9, we read in verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. People talk about second chances. But the Lord might give us, that's a mercy if the Lord gives us second chances, that opportunities, that is, in his providence. But remember this, it is appointed unto man only once to die. You only have this one lifetime, and you die only once. You don't get a second chance when it comes to that. Life is so short. Why else is it so urgent? Because life is so frail, so weak, and the future is so uncertain. We are told in the book of Proverbs not to boast ourselves about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. You don't know if you're going to have tomorrow. Don't make too many plans about tomorrow. The only real certain time we have in life is now. You're alive now. You have this opportunity now. And that's why in the book of Hebrews, where it reflects back on that wilderness journey and that so many died because of unbelief, you have this word today emphasized so much. Exhort one another daily while it is called today. You see, today it's called today. Tomorrow you won't get today back. And tomorrow you don't know if you even will have a today tomorrow. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Young people, do not delay seeking the Lord's mercy. Seek him early in your youth. Oh, satisfy us early. Life is frail. Death is certain. The future is unknown. But also, fourthly, God will judge us according to how we live. And I know right away when I say that, someone is going to say, but Pastor, you know, we're not saved by works. But wait a minute, I didn't say that. God will judge us according to our works, according to how we live. Will we hear in the day of judgment about the reward of our evil deeds or the reward of grace, as it is called? God will judge us according to our works. What does that text say? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The consequence of how we live will take place immediately after we die. Yes, then there will be the resurrection when Jesus comes back and we'll all appear before the judgment seat of God. But right after our death, the consequence of our life will be experienced. Jesus says in Matthew 16, verse 27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. We are saved by grace and not of works, but we are judged according to our works. And young people, God is not saying, don't have a good time. I was going to read also the Ecclesiastes passage from chapter 11 into chapter 12. And you know how chapter 12 begins. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before those days come when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. So there's that urgency of youth. to seek the Lord early. Young people, God is not saying that you may not enjoy life, because it says in Ecclesiastes 11, rejoice, O young, in young man, in your youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of your youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know this, that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Everything you do is written in his book of judgment. And the only way all those sins will be erased from the book of judgment is by the experience of the mercy of God. And then God will erase them from the book of remembrance. And instead, he will only talk about the converted life in the service of Jesus. How do you want to be judged? By your life of sin? Or according to a life in Christ? It's one or the other. Living in Christ by faith, or outside of Christ and continuing in sin and under condemnation. With what a terrible thing it must be to head into your deathbed with nothing but regret on your mind because you have wasted all your days and years in the service of sin. You have wasted God's good gifts. You have dishonored his word that you had heard. You have ignored the pleas that have come to your way in the preaching. You have squandered your young years and wasted your middle life. And then you're pining away with nothing but regret on your deathbed. It's a terrible way. We have enough regrets that we have to bring to the throne of grace and confess our failings as we are getting older. But what a terrible thing if you have not tasted of the mercy of the Lord and die with regret. In Ecclesiastes 12, we hear it again. Remember now your Creator. Why else is it so urgent? Because hardness of heart sets in more and more as we neglect the offers of mercy from year to year. Some of you young men are working in construction. I remember those days in my college days and framing houses and swinging that hammer all day. You get calluses. You know how calluses develop? Repeated resistance. Well, first you get the blisters. But then later, you keep working. Work hard in construction and heavy things, carrying them, and you get calluses. I guess the young men might brag about the calluses they earn through repeated resistance work, heavy labor. But there's another kind of callus that develops when you repeatedly resist the call to conversion, repeatedly resist the offers of mercy, repeatedly resist the twinges and convictions of the Spirit in your heart. Calluses develop over top of your heart, and your heart becomes less and less sensitive. One of the saddest experiences, I visit a lot of older people, one of the saddest things I could experience in my ministry in visiting older people is visiting a bitter old man on his deathbed who has done nothing but resist the call to conversion and repentance, nothing but resist the offers of mercy, nothing but resisting the compulsion to believe in Jesus Christ and only living for stuff. One man said to me, if I could take it all with me, I would. And to experience a man so insensitive to the gospel because he has resisted it so often. Don't develop those calluses, young people. In your impressionable years, while God is talking to your heart and speaking to you in a way that really convicts you, repent of your sin, call upon the Lord, seek His mercy early. What's the opposite of early? It's too late. That's the opposite of early. And it can be too late even before it's too late. I mean, it can be too late even before you die. Because there are so many calluses on your heart, and because you are weakening more and more in your mind, and your conscience is no longer sensitive. And then we see people wither away. And it's too late. That's such a sad experience. But what a joy to visit an old person in an old age home, and they have loved the Lord since they were little children, and they have tried to serve Him, and they have trusted in Jesus, and they have had their sins forgiven, and they have delighted in the Lord all their days. What a joy to visit them. Because you realize that their life is a life of satisfaction in the mercy of God. And that brings us to our second point. And indeed, a much more positive aspect of this verse. Satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. What's implied as a linkage between those two phrases is that it would be so much more pleasant to be spending our life with the satisfying enjoyment of the mercy of God. God's grace in Jesus Christ meets our deepest needs and truly gives us a sense of fulfillment in life. And living out of a gratitude for the mercy of God is the most satisfying thing that you could ever experience in life. Satisfaction. It seems to be what every human being really wants. They're going all over the place and they're crying for all kinds of things to try to get it. And so many have looked to satisfy the hunger of their soul apart from the Lord, though. Many have tried to get satisfaction out of earning money. Money. More and more money. Ask a billionaire. Which million would motivate you to say, it's enough now? Many of those million and billionaires will say, the next, and then the next, and it's never enough. It never really satisfies the soul. There's always that void, that emptiness. The Apostle Paul warns us in his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and he says, but they that will be rich, and he means by that those who have this consuming desire to be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The most miserable people, among the most miserable people, you find the rich. Jesus says it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. Some have said, well, maybe not riches, but pleasure. I just want to have fun. And that's what my life is all about. Just fun, fun, fun. Just, that's the big word. It's fun. Why do you do that? Well, I find it's fun. But life is not all fun. You will find out life is full of many sorrows. And where will you get a joy that's even better than fun? Only when you have the satisfaction of the mercy of God. Some pursue education. They want to finish high school, then they want to finish college, then they want to get their master's degree, and then a PhD, and then a double PhD, and there's more and more education. Some have pursued that as if that's the apex of the satisfaction of life. Some power, just to get more control over this department of the company, then over a division of the company. Then to get to be CEO of a company, power over people. Or in politics, they live and they breathe for the sake of power, or others for fame, to become a Hollywood star, or to get a lot of hits on your YouTube channel and whatnot all, fame, popularity. Does it really satisfy? No. Moses tells us that as we go through life, what is more and more, we're aware of more and more, is that the sins of our life just accumulate. And what we experience more and more is the anger of God. We have a holy God, and as we accumulate sin, we experience more and more of his wrath against sin, because he's a holy God. And how do you escape the wrath of God? How do you escape this sense of this heavy, oppressing hand of Almighty God upon your heart and life, resisting you and pressing upon you? Only by the mercy of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. What alone can satisfy the human soul? Only grace, mercy. Mercy, what is mercy? Mercy is the undeserved kindness of God's forgiving compassion. It's forgiving compassion from God. That's the mercy that we need. And how does mercy come? How does God express a forgiving compassion to sinner? How can he give good things to bad people? People sometimes complain, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, Jesus would say, who is good? No one is good but God. So you're asking the wrong question. The more amazing thing would be, how can good things happen to sinful people? That's a surprise. If you understand the holiness of God and the justice of God, how can anything good happen to a sinner? Mercy. And where does God's mercy come from? Well, Moses understood, because God had revealed himself in all of his glory. He had experienced much of the holiness of God, experiencing the wrath of God, where the earth just shook, split open, and whole families dropped into the depths of the earth under the wrath of God. Or people consumed. And Moses is impressed with that. You can hear it as you read through his psalm, that God is a holy God. And so at one point, in order to be encouraged to go on with this hard-hearted and stiff-necked people, he asked, Lord, show me your glory. And God did so. We read, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this one thing that you have spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. So mercy is something which God shows to someone by his sovereign will. It's not because of our choice, but his sovereign will. We need sovereign mercy. How we need to plead for that. But how can a holy God show mercy to anyone? As Moses got the instruction about the tabernacle and the ark and the altar, the sacrifices, the mercy seat above the Ark of the Covenant, and the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat on the Day of Atonement, Moses got to understand, how do we have mercy that covers the transgressions of the law inside the Ark of the Covenant? How do we experience something of that gold of the mercy? By the blood. How can a holy God dwell in the midst of a people? Something the angels desire to look into only by the blood. And it all points to Jesus. Jesus, the mediator of the covenant, of the new covenant. He came and shed his blood, and the wages of sin is death. Because God is holy, but the gift of God is eternal life and all the mercy that comes with it through Jesus Christ, his Son. Congregation, the gospel promise that comes to us today, implied in this petition, is that if we seek his mercy, if we pray, O Lord, satisfy us with this mercy, that we will find. And Jesus says, seek and you will find. In Proverbs 8, we hear the voice of wisdom, which is the voice of Jesus himself, saying, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Moses talks about learning the lessons and setting our heart on the wisdom's ways, which is the ways of Jesus. How? By experiencing the mercy of Jesus. We learn to walk in the ways of Jesus, the ways of wisdom. What a merciful Savior he is, that he is essentially doing today what he did that day when in Matthew 11 he called out, all you who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. You're heavy laden with a sense of the wrath of God against your sin, heavy laden with the guilty weight of your sin, heavy laden with the expectation of condemnation when you will die. Jesus says, come, and I'll give you rest for free. Simply applied by faith in the Savior. Come to me, he says. Mercy. Free. That's what mercy is. And so you are so restless, not satisfied in anything. Jesus says, come to me. And you will have a satisfying rest of your soul, a peace that passes all understanding, a satisfying rest so that even through the path of tribulation and trial and difficulty, still you will be able to say, even with Job, I know my Redeemer lives. That you will be able to say, no matter what he does to me, though he slay me, yet I will trust him, content to receive whatever God sends our way, knowing he will work it all for our good. What a satisfying way to live. Oh, satisfy us early
And what will be the fruit of it? A joyful fruit. Moses says here that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And there is a joy that he speaks of that persists even in and through the trials of life. Now, there are those who give this misimpression that if you become a Christian, you will be living on the mountaintops of joyful experience all your days. It will be happy-clappy all the way. No, that's not the reality of life. But how is it then that there are these people that you can speak to and they live with such a sense of the joy of the Lord in their life, and this lady may have lost 3 husbands already, gone through all that grief, gone through all the trials with wayward children and death of children, and yet the joy of the Lord shines through in the profession of this person's faith. That's the fruit of having sought the Lord early and lived through the days in a way where they experienced, that doesn't mean there wasn't sin along the way, but seeking mercy over and over and over again. And when you sin, how soon after you sin and you're conscious of it, should you go to God for mercy? After 2 days? After a week? Should you wait at least a month so that you really feel good and miserable about your sin? No, Moses would say, seek mercy as early as you can. The Puritans would say, keep short accounts with God. You know what that means if you're in business? Yeah, well, this person's in debt, but I don't expect the money back at least 30 days. And the Lord says, no, keep short accounts when it comes to your debt of sin. Seek him early after you're convicted of your sin, and then enjoy forgiveness. Enjoy the ability to sing, how blessed is he whose trespass has freely been forgiven. Seek him early, and you will know the joy of the Lord early. It's a spiritual joy. It's a joy that goes much deeper than the giddy, superficial kind of happiness that the world offers you with all its ads and promotions. It's a much deeper joy than the world knows. The joy of the world offers a temporary laugh and guilt afterward. A temporary high and a headache afterward. A temporary tickling of the fancies or of the pleasures, but misery afterward. For the Lord Jesus offers a joy that permeates our life and that lasts. Indeed, the disciples followed Jesus and they trusted in him, and there was a cross in the way. And Peter didn't like it. He wanted to stand in the way of the Lord to that cross. But it was necessary. Our trials are necessary for good. Surely Jesus' cross was necessary. And then he talks about their sorrow. Of course, there is sorrow when you go through a trial. He says, your sorrow, however, will be turned into joy. As deep as your sorrow was, so your joy will be so great. I will see you again, he says, and your heart will rejoice, and that joy, no one will take it away. Jesus lives. And the Christian can say, I know he lives, and I can face tomorrow. This mercy enables you to know the joy of the Lord. Moses in verse 15, notice, says, make us glad according to the days in which thou hast afflicted us. What is he saying? Well, we've gone through this 40 years of affliction, and
some of these young people, it's nothing but affliction that they know in their memory. And Lord, help them to seek thee early so that as they know thy mercy, as they experience thy mercy in their life, that in accordance with the weight of this great trial, they could be able to experience the joy is even greater. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, he says, the sufferings of this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Satisfy us early, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Oh, young people, don't give God the last scraps of your life. Seek his face early. Seek this mercy early. Plead for this mercy in Jesus' name early in your life so that you may devote all of the days of your life in his service. Not just the last couple of years. Congregation, it is never too early. Never too early. Children, do you pray for a new heart? Do you pray, Lord, forgive my sin, clean new heart, create in me, all my sins wash away? And Lord, that as the Lord hears that prayer, he promises that he delights to see children come to him. He will not turn you away. If you want to know what joy is in life, experience the mercy. Parents, it's never too early to start praying for the mercy of God to be applied to that little infant child, even in the womb already. But surely as these toddlers begin to manifest that they are born with a depraved heart, seek mercy for them. You are so busy, aren't you, with your business? You've just started a business. Oh, Pastor, I'm just so busy. And so I, one day when I get settled a little and I can get my company settled or get the farm worked out so that I can hire some people to do that, that's when I'm delay, postpone, tomorrow, till when? When is it going to be urgent enough for you? When it's almost too late? Moses here prays, let thy work appear. You think your work is so important? Indeed, we need the blessing of God to establish our work. And we do need to go to work. It's pray and work. But if it's all work and no pray, it's a life of misery. Do you want to know the joy of the Lord in your work? Then seek his mercy in your work. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. Lord, it's not so important that I see the evidence of my work in terms of money and productivity, etc., etc. But what's most important to me, Lord, is that I may experience thy saving work in my children, in my grandchildren, in my workplace, thy work in the hearts of my employees and my neighbors. That's what will give you true joy in life. To see God's work in your children is so precious. Nothing can buy that. It's so precious. And so make this a matter of urgent priority. No busyness on your part can justify neglecting your soul's need and the needs of your husband or wife and children. To our aged members, maybe just a closing remark.
Because maybe the older people are thinking in the back of their mind, this seems to be for the children, for the young people, for the busy youth or young couples. But I believe you were listening too. Because here's a point. If it is so urgent, according to Moses, that the mercy of God be experienced early in our life, how urgent, how much more urgent it is for you as your mental faculties are evidencing some weakening already, as your physical abilities are weakening and your ability to work is lessening. And as you experience certain diseases beginning in your body, how much more urgent it is. If you have not yet experienced the saving mercy of God in Jesus Christ, to seek it today, while it is called today. Harden not your heart anymore, but rejoice. And be glad in that offered mercy by casting yourself upon the Savior, pleading his mercy, and trusting in his promises with the joy of the Lord in your heart. Be assured that as you seek him, you will never regret doing that. There is a repentance not to be repented of. In other words, when you repent, you don't regret it. When you seek his mercy, you will never regret it. And one day you will rejoice and be glad perfectly all the days of eternity in the presence of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord will be perfect. Amen.